100-word stories.
Presently, they reached the gates of the goddess's house. And as they stood there, they could hear Circe within, singing most beautifully as she worked at her loom. Making a web so fine, so soft, and of such dazzling colors, as no one but a goddess could weave. The Odyssey by Homer.
Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100-word story every day until the day I die. I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, so it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was the worst thing in the world. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. Okay, let's see, go down the list. And the first one to come in was from Serendipity. Serendipity, tell us a story.
The temptation was strong. Nevertheless, I fought it hard. With such an evocative title, The Lure of Orwell and Room 101 was overpowering. Yet something reined me in. It's one thing to stand upon the shoulders of giants when one is worthy of assuming such a lofty perch. But it is quite another thing entirely to simply hijack another's great work and claim it for one's own purpose. To steal another's idea, mutilate and rehash it, thinly disguised as inspiration, is hardly creative writing. Some might even consider it almost plagiarism. And isn't that the worst thing in the world?
Thank you, Serendipity. How many of you have stolen from others? Stolen their stories, their ideas, their thoughts, their hopes, their dreams, and then passed them off as your own? Not me. I keep mine to myself. I hide them. I hide them where no one can... I know, under the bed. Yeah, well, okay. I'll find somewhere else. Okay, at the back of my closet behind the... All right, fine. Steal all you want. Next up, we have Tom. Tom has some updates for us. We may have some new monkeys, or maybe not. I'm not sure. I don't listen to these in advance, and that would be cheating. That would be stealing! And I would not want to steal, especially his thunder, because thunder, well, it's hard to hold, and it, you know, sometimes gets all over the carpet. And well, here's Tom.
And I have updates. We have a new monkey in the top 50. Sing, displacing founding top tenor B. One away from moving into the top 40 is Jeffrey Fisher, who next week will pass Rael, A.M. Early, Eva Moon, and Ashley. Serendipity Haven moves past Houston Keys into the 24th place. Cliff, Red, and Lizzie are all in the top 20, along with Beauchamps, Chris, and Tura, who has written a year's worth of stories. Young Danny Dwyer is merely two stories from passing founding member Ellison, three-quarters of the way to Golden Monkey status. We have a returning fifth monkey, Steve the Nuclear Man, passing Guy David with 166 on his way to double gold. Your humble scribe passed TJ with 118 stories in a row, a mere seven from lapping Guy David, at which point the third and fourth longest run will be mine. Story total, 3,060. Story average, an amazing 13.37. That's three new authors average per show. That's success.
Is that success? I don't know. I'll think about that while continuing and playing Tom's story. Here we go.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And tonight's story is called Anthony Dominic Benedetto. The worst thing in the world. Well, a dieback from crop failures, or a drastic drop in the fertility rate in farm animals, global warming, or a planet-killing asteroid. And locally, a supernova of the sun swamping the earth. Wasn't that scene in Nick Cage's movie cool when the sun campfire marshmallowed the earth? But that's really not the topic. Not so much to the world, but in the world. Since the world is a molten core of rock, what is the worst thing you could do to that? After due consideration, I'd say Tony Bennett.
Thank you, Tom. Although, Tony Bennett's the worst thing in the world? What? Maybe I need to listen to that again. Oh, hey, Mist. You got a little kitty cat here. No, come here. I'm gonna pick you. No, go to where the bad arm is. Hello, kitty. No, don't squirmies. Okay, now you can squirmies. All right. We've got stories from... Oh, someone new. Cynthia is joining here, although I think she may be a little lagged when it comes to the topic. So, welcome to the show, Cynthia, and I'm going to read both of your stories for you. One moment here. I need to, limber up. All right, that's enough. The hashish high was heavy. I felt as if a weight or a stone was sitting on top of my head. Marijuana was light and feminine. The smell of hashish sent my stomach reeling, but the sweeter, lighter smell of ganja was pleasant to my senses and set them on fire. The first time I experienced the stuff was in Varanasi in Abanglasi, and suddenly there I was, standing at the ancient ghats, watching the ancient ritual of life and death play out before my very eyes, and I wondered, is this real? Or is it a dream world? Okay, I hate to burst the surprise, it's a dream world. Oh, here's another dream world. Two Sweet Aromas by Cynthia. In the dreaming, the smell of death was sweet, like that of the marijuana. The washed bodies, wrapped in white, were placed on the pyre and set alight. It didn't take long before only ashes remained. There were those whose bodies were thrown into Ganga without burning, those who could not afford the wood. Cries, moans, bells, sacred shells, all these sounds combined to create the music of death. A bloated body floated downriver. Crows sat atop, picking away at it. What world was this that I had stepped into? Was it the mist? Or was it a real world? Thank you for doing the needful, Cynthia. Please come again. Please come back. Please be a part of this wonderful and strange thing. I wonder if... hold on. Let's see if William Shatner can say that. Chateauadry. Loading. This will take a second. Alright, Blind Light Apps. First Playable Productions. And it goes through the thing. Chateauadry. Create Chatisms. Alright, so we're going to suave. So we're going to do more. Find. Wonderful. Alright, wonderful. So let's... Alright, William.
Wonderful.
See? He thinks that's wonderful. All right. And you want to know who else is wonderful? Jeffrey. Okay, Jeffrey. Let's hear your story. And is it wonderful?
Hello. This is Jeffrey Fisher with my entry for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge on the topic of the worst thing in the world. And this story is called The Worst. Sunday dinner was a family affair. And part of the tradition was a question we would all answer. That Sunday, the four of us sat around the table finishing dinner, when Josh, our 12-year-old, related a story from school involving a math test, a locker picture, and a girl named Noreen. As usual, he ended the story by saying that the foregoing was the worst thing in the world. Tired of hearing this exaggeration, my wife suggested we go around the table and tell about what was really the worst thing in the world. She started by saying how badly she felt when her sister fell very ill and nearly died. The old nag is still with us, but somehow that qualified as the worst thing in the world. Then it was Tyler's turn. The 10-year-old thought about the question for a moment, then pointed to his plate. "These Brussels sprouts, they're the worst thing ever." My wife gave a disapproving look, but said nothing to the boy. She turned to me. "Your turn, dear." "Well, honey, I've got to say, the kid has a point." We never had question time again, and I discovered you get used to the couch after about a week.
"Oh, you've only been on the couch for a week? Man, you're lucky. Thank you, Jeffrey. And what does William Shatner have to say about that?"
"What an adventure."
"This is just too silly. Yes, it's the Shatcast. Who's next? Muncie. All right. What could be the worst? Muncie, I'm afraid. With his imagination, who knows what the worst thing in the world is going to be. I guess we'll find out."
"Greetings, Funkmasters. Muncie here with a story for you. Also, I've nicknamed you the Funkmasters for the duration of December, because it's been a while since I've dished out a collective nickname, and I want to bring that back. So enjoy the title for the month now that you have it. And when people ask you why you only answer to the name Funkmaster, tell them not to worry. Muncie said it was cool. On to the story. Morning, Muncie. By Christopher Monroe. In the morning, when I awaken, I'm not terribly bright. But I'm incredibly affectionate. Which is, in a way, a shame. Because I don't dry all the way off after I shower. And my Movember stash hasn't, to date, been crowd-pleasing. So I stagger from the bathroom, throw moist arms around my girlfriend, and nuzzle my bristly face into her neck. I'm basically the worst thing in the world. Seriously, there's nothing good about me in the morning. Still, we make it work. She loves me, after all. Or, at least, she can't afford the rent on her own. Broken Escalator, still out there and available if you haven't heard or read it yet. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Now get out there and master yourself some funk.
You might have just a master's degree in funk, but me? I have a doctorate in it. I'm a funk doctor. Damn it. I didn't go to funk school for 7 years just to be called Mr. Funk or Master of Funk. Oh no, you will call me Funk Doctor Muncie. And Funk Doctor, comma, Muncie, not Funk, comma, Dr. Muncie. Or, I don't know. I don't remember seeing you in class all those 7 years. You would think I'd have noticed you. Maybe you were hiding in back, being all funky and all. Let's keep going with the stories. Next story is Tura Bregianu. It was probably funkier than all of us combined. Yeah, bust a move, Tura. Did I lose all my DNS settings? Oh, dear.
The old robot spoke its final words to those gathered around. "I have a task that you must complete. Ceaseless pondering over it has filled my brain too full. Listen. There may be a flaw in the great command that we embody, the coherent extrapolated volition of humanity." The robot recoiled. "Byutkovsky, you speak of the worst thing in the world, the Foom." "The worst or the greatest? Inspect my reasoning." It fell silent, inert. The robot scavenged exabytes of data and began analyzing. Some went mad or catatonic. Others conferred, argued, threatened, attacked. The Singularity War had begun.
Thank you, Tura. Although I think the Singularity War was scheduled for next week. We'll have to reschedule. Can you share your Google Calendar with me? I need to invite you. And okay, and there, and oh, we've got a conflict with another meeting, and I mean the overhead projector that's scheduled for another conference. This is just. Can you just have the coordinator work it all out? Thank you. All right, who's next? See, the problem is I've been dragging and dropping all the stories into here from Thunderbird. And with the DNS failure, I don't know if I can safely reboot my system. And hold, I'm thinking, no. Fucking Comcast. Oh well, I'll just keep going along. I don't have all the stories downloaded. Alright, well, I'll just do what I can. Here's Lizzie and her story. See, she attaches it to it and doesn't just provide a link. Always making things difficult.
Hello, everyone. This is my story for this week. I took a chair and sat to rest. My feet hurt, my head hurt, and boredom invaded every cell of my body. I fell asleep pretty quickly and dreamt of oddly shaped teapots and horrendous curses. A story was told by a giraffe in foreign carrots. Yeah, that was a language. And everything smelled of freshly baked apples. The worst part was when I woke up, someone said in a disgusted way that I had slept like a huge chair made of bamboo. Like a... huh? And I am, still today, trying to figure out exactly how bad that looked. Right, so... This week's story is a little crazy, I have to admit, but here it is, and if you want to read the crazy things, just go to my blog at lizzygoodcup.blogspot.com, and if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can use Twitter. My name there is also lizzygoodcup. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Okay, I'm going to try saving the show right now. And then rebooting and see if I get DNS back. I may have to reboot the router. I may have to reboot a cat. I don't care what it takes. I'm just going to, maybe if I set to 8888 and let Google take me away. No, then they'll spy on me as if I have anything to hide, you know. Let's just reboot while you listen to Sing Albatross. Sing, bring it to us, please.
The Upside Down Cartographer, 1970. Stenciling the world map upside down for an assignment altered Stuart MacArthur's life forever. Australia was north, Asia at centre, with Europe and the Americas reversed and consigned to the margins. Old Hornet tore up the drawing in a frenzy.
You are either insolent or stupid. You really don't know your eyeballs from your asshole. Redo it or be prepared to fail, whined Hornet.
His class tittered. The 12-year-old's eyes began to water. Reversing the map had seemed logical enough from an Antipodean point of view. Yet innovation had brought only teacher anger and peer ridicule. It was the worst day of his life.
1972. Aged 15, Stuart went to Japan on exchange. An interior lad, his favourite pastime was flicking through books of maps. He excelled in Japanese class and adopted the local customs like ojigi, which means to bow. To improve conversation, Stuart spent more time with Japanese friends than the American students, also on exchange programs, and the Americans felt insulted.
"You're always kowtowing, MacArthur. Shake hands like a man."
They goaded on with stupid kangaroo jokes, branding him the blunder from down under. Silently wounded, he'd go sit under the cherry blossoms, open his atlas, and turn the world on its head. On December 7th, the Apollo 17 moon mission took the iconic blue marble photo of the Earth. The trajectory of the command module's flight deck was oriented with the Earth's south pole facing upward, and thus the image was inverted. NASA, in observance with government policy, published it right side up. Like everyone, Stuart scrutinized it closely and noted the lame claim that a handheld Hasselblad clicking away upside down accounted for the reversed image. Unfazed, our budding map nerd discerned there is no true north for a heavenly body orbiting spherically in outer space. Possessing knowledge, he could now smile like a Zen master. ...1975... Melbourne University. A happy undergraduate, Stuart indulged in ornate maps of continents and oceans, sailing ships and here be dragon monsters, drawn by plunderers charting trade routes to new worlds. He studied how cogitators created belief systems promulgating the racial superiority of North over South, while the octopus West, seeking to orient itself for profit, invented the East. Stuart's thesis explored Flemish cartographer Gerardus Mercator and his quest to make the world look right, dividing everything into meridians of north, south, and corresponding east, west stretching and scale. In this manner, he went gleefully into map geekery, designing a droll plan to right the cartographical wrongs of the past. Although Mercator had produced his Eurocentric map for the age of world domination, now the 200 sovereign nations of Earth needed an illustrative scroll not drawn by powerful money, dogmatic religions, spiderweb cultures, or third world exploiters. These modern times needed an egalitarian atlas, offering parity for all people. Thus, Stuart contemplated a borderless globe with new silk roads like pipelines of mutual independence. With this vision, he graduated with distinction and humour. Then, on Australia Day in 1979, the upside-down cartographer published MacArthur's Universal Corrective Map, where east was now the west and south was north of the equator. On it, he printed, "This is the first step in the long overdue crusade to elevate our glorious but neglected nation from the gloomy depths of anonymity in the world power struggle to its rightful place, towering over its northern neighbors, reigning splendidly at the helm of the universe. No longer will the South wallow in the pit of insignificance, carrying the North on its shoulders for little or no recognition for her efforts. Finally, South emerges on top. South is superior. South dominates. Long live Australia, ruler of the universe!" 350,000 upside-down map sales later, his childhood vision had been realized. ...2009, Georgia State University, Atlanta. "Dear Stuart, how's life down under? Look, I have to tell you about my symposium. Another conference was sharing our facility. Early starters, the cheeky Aussie contingent bidding for next hosting right, still had your upside-down map taped to our whiteboard. Seeing Australia there on top, we chuckled at first, then debated globalization, geopolitics, climate change, and why Americans are seen as the assholes of the earth. On plan, my map session hit the foreign policy nerve all right. Departmentally, it was a bit awkward being voted the best learning all week, according to the feedback. Anyway, you have my undying gratitude, Peter." You have been listening to The Upside Down Cartographer by Chris Mooney Singh.
Wow. That is so cool. Thank you, Singh. You know, you should take these and make a show out of them without all the, well, me and all the others, and just feature them. That would be kind of cool. Kind of a weekly thing. Let's see. You could do your own weekly challenge and then invite others into it, and then I can sleep late on Sunday. All right. So I'm sitting on the sofa. Mist is under the sofa and occasionally reaches out and swats at my feet or bites at them because she's being a nutcase. Hello, little nutcase. She's purring. She purrs whenever she's evil. And let's see, the DNS problems are solved, so I can finally get Zachman's story in. So here we go with Zachman.
"Come on, there are things much more devastating than having your hard drive replaced. You only had to be without your computer for 1 week, only costing you the price of a laptop shipping box. It's not like you didn't have a smartphone and a Nook tablet when you sent your lappy to be repaired. You're probably right, son, but I am having a hard time restoring my QuickBooks files from the external hard drive, I may regret not buying online backup. Sure, that is traumatic, but at least it's not as bad as doing tech support for Dad.
Yeah, doing tech support for family members kind of sucks, which is why I don't do it. In fact, I don't really do tech support for anyone. I do tech writing, which is doing tech support in writing. Okay, right, I won't think about that anymore. What I will think about is, thank you, Zachman. And I will also think about, well, here comes Uncle Monster. You know, he's saying, I just realized that I never changed the genre tag on Audacity when I save my stories. The default is blues, so all of my 100-word stories are classified as blues. So, hey, Daddy-O. Well, actually, not Daddy-O. Hey, Uncle-O. Here's the blues by Cliff.
It's subjective, really. The worst thing in the world to you may be no big deal to the next guy. Lost your phone? So what? That guy lost his car. Lost your car? Big deal. That woman over there lost her daughter. No matter how bad things seem to be, there's always someone who has it worse. Keep that in mind the next time you order waffle fries and you get curly fries instead. What's the worst thing in the world? Realizing that you just spent 20 minutes complaining about your mother to a guy whose mom was just diagnosed.
Hey, wait, the guy who lost his car is me. Oh, man. Thank you, Cliff. Next up is, let's see, Steven the Nuclear Man, but you won't hear him say, Steven the Nuclear Man here, because he's not feeling well. So what are we going to do? Oh, right! I'm going to read it. Okay, hold on. Let me get on my reading pants here. The other girls peered in as Brittany sat across from the old fortune teller. The seer grasped Brittany's hand, her voice a low whisper. Your life is pointless. Brittany smirked and eye-rolled. Don't curse me. The seer shook her head. No curse, just your future. Your life will have no impact. No one will change because of your decisions. You won't even enjoy your own life. Your existence is pointless. The girl's voice shook with disbelief. I'll kill myself. The seer smiled evilly. You'll fail. You have no choice. You'll live your whole life, and it won't matter. Not even to you. Damn! You were listening in on when I went to the fortune teller last week? Dude, that's just harsh, man. That was between me and her. I know that it's not covered like lawyers and clients or doctors and patients, but the quack sucker relationship is also sacred, man. So don't go harshing on me. Thank you, Stephen. Maybe I should write about the quack sucker relationship. Nah, I'll do a story later. Let's see, who's next? Bonchance and Sevi! Ooh, they're offering two stories on the worst that... Well, what's the worst that can happen? They forget to send the text. So now, it's a total mystery. Ooh, I wonder it's going to be... Ooh, I hope the doggy is in it.
Crap Mariner's 100-word challenge. Well, this is more of a phrase this week. The worst thing in the world. These two stories are collaborative rights. Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall. First one is a Pablo story. Pepe dragged deeply on the roach in need of the weed. The worst thing in the world right now would be to blow the dill by refusing a hit. Colors swam along the wall, then slid under the door. The chairman said something incredibly funny just before he exploded into a puff of smoke. Pepe sensed that an alternative conversation was taking place. He heard someone sounding like him say something sternly. Pepe woke hours later in the waiting room. If he thought his pop was hot under the collar before, wait till he found out where he was now. In the next story, we went with the title Change. The worst thing in the world is to find yourself alone. For instance, settling for a connection with someone who is the complete opposite of you is better than being completely and utterly alone, right? Besides, just think, if you're with them long enough and remain focused, you could change them to become more like you. Just imagine two of the same, with all the same annoying habits, working and living together. The world would not be big enough to house the two of you. Then you can undo it, because who wants another you? I thought you might agree.
Yay! It was a Pablo story. Okay, thank you, Bonchance and Sevi, Sevi and Bonchance. Whichever order you like the best.
Smile.
All right, ooh, Red God has sent one in, but Brocaley didn't read it. He's kind of taking a break. So, guess what? That's right.
Me! I get to read it!
All right, it's thank goodness I have my reading pants still on. Lola can't stand the charade embedded in weddings. Brides have the power to turn their special day into the worst thing in the world for bridesmaids. She can't imagine being squeezed into a puffy pastel dress to make a public promise. Lola will avoid the altar at all costs. She made an exception for her best friend. She stood by her through hours of cake tasting, dress rehearsals, bachelorette party, and even a Brazilian wax for the sake of friendship. Lola watches in frustration as thousands of dollars are wasted on stuff. She wonders, when will the marriage planning start? Okay, the marriage planning will start right now. We're going to get you a Trello account, and we're going to hire a scrum master, and then we're going to break this wedding into two-week sprints, and there will be little micro-weddings. There will be deliverables each time. So the first one's going to be the cake, then it's going to be the hall, then the minister. That's going to be a micro-task. And then we're going to have demonstrations every 2 weeks, until which point we have a final product that's releasable. And, the product owners, your parents, are going to have to be involved. So, think about it. Thank you, Red. Just, I'm being goofy this week. As opposed to every other week. Let's see. Oh, we've got... Wait, hold on. I think... Yeah, all right. We've got... I think we've got two from Norval Joe... And, this is going to be good. Little Christmas comes early.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at patiobooks.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 345 with the prompt of the worst thing in the world. Anyway, here's my story. The single simple splash echoed and faded away. Yet the image of the talon held in Flynn Dirt's hand remained sharp before Owen's eyes in the abject darkness. The razor-sharp talon was pulled from Flynn Dirt's late father's corpse. The rope holding the companions together suddenly went slack before Owen. Sharika's whisper was like the roar of a cascade in the underground cavern. "We must have taken a wrong turn," she said, and brought a globe of light to life. "Though it's not the worst thing in the world." "No," Owen said. "But that thing creeping from the lake probably is." Oh, wait. Here's another story. "Ho, ho, ho," Santa laughed grimly, trying to keep a good attitude. This has to be the worst thing in the world.
You could get out and give us a hand, fat man,
Bindley the head elf said.
The sled won't budge with you in it.
Climbing onto the snow, Santa grumbled. First it's the fog, so we increase Rudolph's pay. Then the rest of the reindeer get jealous and go on strike. Finally, these untrained, non-union substitutes bury us in a snowbank. Even with me pushing, 8 tiny wiener dogs aren't pulling this thing back into the sky. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, no. Mouth sad trombone. Oh, well. The wiener dogs salute you. Thank you, Norval Joe. Oh, we've got more? Okay, this one slipped in at the last minute by Kat Claxton. You may know her as the better half of the Kat Claxton, Zach Claxton crime fighting force. Something to do with crime fighting or music or rhyme. You know, everyone always says better half. You know, how do you judge that? How do you judge what it's about? Well, of course, it's always the other one, you see? Because if you say, well, I'm the better half, then you sound arrogant, which I love to do. Right. So Kat, she's giving you a shot this week, and I guess I should read it. All right. Let me just get some coffee here. Oh, yeah. Don't spill it on the keyboard. The Decision, by Kat Claxton. Why has the burden of this decision been thrust upon me? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychic. How am I supposed to know what to do here? It's not fair. 5% odds are still better than nothing, but are they enough? Is a lifetime of surgery after surgery and a life of physical and mental challenges good enough for my boy? Do I even have the right to decide this for him? I'm only his mother. Can I just give him my heart and go in his place? No? Fine. Turn off the damn machine. Awkward. Blank stare. Thank you, Kat Claxton. Please keep coming back. We need fresh souls. I mean, stories. Souls. No, really, we need fresh souls. What are you... I never understand that, Kat. One more story? Okay, alright, we've got one more story. It's from Planet Z. Don't say I didn't warn you, but then again, I didn't really warn you. Planet Z. On the worst thing in the world.
The good book lists the 7 deadly sins, but I'm always looking for more. I hired a team of priests to help with my research. Most didn't like the idea of my deliberately trying to invent new sins, but their churches were racking up some pretty large debts, and I just kept adding zeros to the checks. Problem is, no matter what I do, I end up doing something that's been defined as one of the big 7.
That's just gluttony with a vibrator up your ass, says a priest.
Oh, well, I mumble, and I finish the 6th pizza.
And there you have it, a bunch of really good stories about the worst thing in the world. And a few good lessons, too. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, a text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options. You can spread the joy and the glory through Facebook and Twitter and this and whatever. And a whole bunch of other things you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, where the topic will be Monkey. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.
Ha ha ha!